Our guest today is Dr. Benjamin Carson, former director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. In addition to being awarded 60 honorary doctorate degrees, Dr. Carson is the author of 5 best-selling books, including his current New York Times bestseller, America the Beautiful. Dr. Carson, it's great to have you back with us again today.
Well, thank you. Nice to be with you again.
You place a heavy emphasis on God and the Judeo-Christian principles upon which the United States was founded. What do you say to non-Christians and atheists who insist that both God and Christianity should be left out of politics?
Well, I don't think it's just politics. I think it's a way of life. You know, as John Adams said, our system of government is designed for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. And so, you know, I don't think it's just a matter of mixing religion and politics. It's that, you know, we were designed by people who were believers, and our system of government was made for people who were believers, people who were decent people, people who thought about others. You know, obviously, if you didn't care about your fellow man, if you didn't feel some degree of responsibility for your brother, then a capitalist system doesn't work.
Yeah, and I might add that you can even be an atheist, and I know plenty of atheists, and they still live by Judeo-Christian principles, whether they call them that or not. So it's a way of life. It's a culture.
Exactly. We have something that's very special in this country in terms of people helping other people and being generous and helping people move up from a low level. All of those things are part of who we are.
Speaking from the viewpoint of a world-renowned neurosurgeon, give us a few of the more important reasons why Obamacare is wrong for Americans in general, in particular bad for those on the lowest rung of the income ladder.
Well, you know, Obamacare doesn't have a whole lot to do with health care. It has a whole lot to do with control. And that's why it was so urgent to get it passed first thing when, you know, both houses were under Democratic control as well as the executive branch. Because health is the most important thing you have. And if you can gain complete control of everyone's health, everything else will come along. So that's why not a lot of thought was put into it. Obviously, as it's being rolled out and people are seeing what's in there, you know, they're running like rats from a sinking ship. And, you know, at this stage of the game, it would be wise, I'm not saying that this will happen, but it would be wise to just say, you know what, this is not working. The vast majority of people don't think it's working. It's severely hampering any type of economic recovery. And let's take the lessons that we've learned from it, and let's move on, because, you know, a lot of people are being hurt, particularly at the lower socioeconomic rung of the ladder. You know, jobs are being downgraded from 40 hours to less than 30 hours so that you don't have the implications of cost for covering their health care. People are not being hired, again, because it costs over a dollar an hour more to hire somebody now because of Obamacare. So, you know, these things are extremely destructive to an economy that is trying to recover from a pretty significant disaster. It's just like throwing, you know, oil on a fire.
Isn't it amazing the way the truth has a way of coming to the surface no matter how much you try to repress it? I mean, and you gave the greatest example, of course, is it's a job killer and people are being downgraded from 40 to 30 or 29 hours. You can't repress the truth. Politicians, you'll never get politicians to believe that, but you can't.
Yeah, you can't. And you know, the president said those people who like their insurance and who like their doctor can keep them. How are you going to keep them when the companies are getting rid of these programs because they can no longer afford them under the Affordable Health Care, which is a funny name for it?
Exactly. You talk about the need to compromise, but you also emphasize there can be no compromise on the fundamental principles that made America great. And I was fascinated by that part of your book. I kept going over and over your words. One of the examples you use is murder, and you make an interesting point about capital punishment and abortion. When, in your view, would it be acceptable to compromise on either of these two issues?
Well, I think those are principles. And I say ideals, I have no problem. Compromise all day long on ideals. But on principles, You can't compromise because you begin to destroy your identity when you compromise on principles. And that's largely what's been happening in the United States. We don't even know who we are anymore. You know, and that is perhaps the worst thing that's going on, because the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. We no longer have a vision of who we are. It's just reacting to this or reacting to that. You know, you look over, for instance, stuff that's going on in the Middle East right now. We have no idea what we're doing. And yet, if we had a principle, and that principle was helping people who are trying to be free, then in 2009, when the Iranian population was rising up against a very unjust government, and we just thumbed their nose at them because we don't have a principle. But if our principle was to help people who are free, and we could have allowed them to gain control of their own destinies and overthrow an extremely radical and unjust government, which is sticking its finger in our eye now, the whole landscape of the Middle East would have been very different. And that's what leadership and vision is all about. When you don't have it, you disintegrate into chaos. This is what we're doing.
You know, in the same vein, you place a great deal of emphasis on teamwork. But how can people who believe in freedom work with those who believe in an all-powerful central government? Or how can people who believe in the sanctity of life work with those who believe in abortion on demand?
Well, what you have to do is be able to put your ideals on the table and discuss them intelligently. That's really the key. Now recognize, and I fully recognize, that Saul Alinsky says in his book, Rules for Radicals, you never have a discussion with your opponent because that humanizes them, and your goal is to demonize them. So I realize they don't want to have a discussion, but you have to continue to insist on that and never get into the mud pit with them. And if you do that and you stick to your principles, then a lot of people will come out of the woodwork to support you. Recognize that tens of millions of people did not vote in the last election. Why? Because they were discouraged. They didn't really think anybody represented their values. A lot of those people right now are watching very carefully as this debate goes on about, you know, continuing resolution for funding, you know, the federal government and Obamacare. And some of the Republicans are saying, well, you know, we probably better fund everything because if the government shuts down, then we'll be blamed for it. I keep saying, you got to grow a spine. You know, this is a principle. We have a blatant violation of the Constitution being forced down the throat of the American people, and somebody has to take a stand. That's why we have a three-division government, so that if one gets out of control, the others can check it. But if the others are too afraid to check it and are afraid that they're going to get blamed for something, then you may as well only have one branch of government.
Yeah, and I might add to that, maybe now it's four with the media, because it's totally out of control what's going on.
Absolutely.
You say the government should exercise oversight in every economic model, including capitalism, and you believe it was a mistake to deregulate the financial markets in the 1990s. I'm not sure we're totally on the same page here. What do you say to libertarians and those who believe in laissez-faire capitalism, people who believe that the government regulation is the problem, not because not only do politicians get in bed with big players who feather their nests, but regulation gives investors a false sense of security?
Right. Well, after the crash of 1929 and in the years that followed in the 30s, a lot of things were learned. And that's why they put into place things like the Glass-Steagall Act, things that kept, you know, bankers from doing dangerous investments with people's hard-earned money. And, you know, we abided by those things until, you know, the 90s, when we said, oh, you know what, the banks and all the investors now, they're very great, wonderful, moral people, and there's no way they would risk people's heart. And it took about 20 years for it to catch up with us. But and so there is a role for government. It's a limited role, but it's to make sure that you protect the property and the rights of the people. when you start going beyond that and trying to micromanage how people do things, that's where the government is out of line.
Well, I'm glad you explained it that way, because I can sure buy that, and that is the government's role, is to protect rights and protect rights of the people and protect ownership. And it's exactly the opposite now. They're the biggest violators and aggressors on private property.
Right, right. Well, they use the excuse that they're trying to protect people. And, you know, that's the whole big debate that we're in right now, security versus freedom. And, yes, we all want freedom, and, yes, we all want some degree of security, but we're falling for a big lie when they tell us that they're protecting us, when all they're really doing is trying to control us and control every aspect of our lives.
I agree. Let's get back to Obamacare for a second. I'd like to get your thoughts on so-called death panels and even euthanasia. I don't think most people understand that the reason medical care has become the number one problem in the U.S. and really throughout the world is because people now live on average, 20 years longer than they did just 50 or 60 years ago. So what are your thoughts on depriving, say, a 90-year-old person access to medical procedures such as a hip replacement, kidney transplant, or removal of a malignant tumor?
Well, I think it's utterly ridiculous to make any kind of decision based on age, because we're all different. You know, there are some people who are 75 years old who physiologically are like somebody who's 40, and there's some people who are 40 who are physiologically like somebody who's 75. So to sit there and make major decisions based on a chronological index like age is just stupid, and there's no reason for us to do that.
Yeah, it's fitting people into slots. Again, I agree totally. I forgot his name, but I know one gentleman won the Nobel Pulitzer Prize when he was 90 years old, and Will Durant was writing up until probably about the same age, maybe beyond. So I agree with you totally. Two last items. In your speech at CPAC, you said Barack Obama and his allies are trying to destroy the country. And if someone wanted to ruin the United States, they would create division among the people, encourage a culture of ridicule for basic morality and the principles that made and sustained the country, undermine the financial stability of the nation, and weaken and destroy the military. It appears coincidentally that those are the very things that are happening right now. Are you saying that all the bad stuff that has happened since Obama came into office is really by design?
Well, you know, I didn't say that he was trying to destroy the country. What I said is, if I were trying to destroy the country, that's what I would do. Because, you know, those are, you know, tearing away at the very fabric of what makes us into a strong nation. You know, kill our financial structure and ruin our morality, destroy our principles, destroy our vision. And is that happening? Is he intentionally trying to do that? I don't know. Or is he a tool of, you know, those elements who believe that the United States is evil and must be destroyed and recognize that we're too powerful to be destroyed militarily, and therefore we must be destroyed internally? I don't know. But it is really quite interesting that the very things that should be done to destroy a nation are the things that are happening.
I couldn't agree more. Finally, and I know you're familiar with this one, Georgetown professor Clyde Wilcox, a so-called expert on religion and politics, was quoted as saying that Ben Carson, and this is a quote, is not likely to be a serious candidate for president on the GOP side. And his reason, he said, was that if you look at how nominations work in the Republican Party, it's almost always the person who finished second in the primaries the last time that gets the nomination, pointing to John McCain and Mitt Romney as recent examples. Dr. Carson, doesn't this get right to the heart of precisely what's wrong with the Republican Party?
It gets to the heart of what's wrong with America in general. And it's the reason that so many people are sick and tired of politics and politicians and the way that they think and the way that they're doing things. We're not making any progress on that basis. And, you know, I honestly do not have any desire whatsoever to serve public office. I really don't. But I do have tremendous desire to wake people up, to help people to understand what this country was all about and what we can do if we develop a spine and stop submitting, you know, to those people who are trying to shut us up. You know, Saul Alinsky's number one rule in Rules for Radicals, you make the majority believe that their opinion is the minority opinion and that your opinion is the majority opinion.
Yep.
And if you can co-opt the media in the process, you're far ahead of the game. That's exactly what's happened. And millions of Americans have been beaten and bludgeoned into silence, and they've become discouraged. And it's time for us to wake them up.
Well, you know what Alinsky said, when they push back, instead of backing up, you just put your foot on the accelerator and push all the harder. And that's certainly what's going on now, I would agree. Well, Dr. Carson, thanks for visiting with us again today, and much good health and success to you on the new leg of your remarkable journey through life.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.